10 to 6 music on the BBC Sounds app and discover all our latest shows, sessions and mixes.
6 music.
Right now, it's Matt Everett's The First Time.
Yeah, Slick. 008. 1964. Feel me? Now what's up, sis? What's the problem?
Yeah, here's the file.
Now they got me like a top agent shogun, watching me program.
Look a hot go from
smash and explosion.
Check the fabrics he worn from.
Sass on the flow,
get the documents for him. Here we go.
Now they got me like a top agent shogun, watching me program.
Look a hot go from
smash and explosion.
Check the fabrics he worn from.
Sass on the flow,
get the documents for him. Here we go.
Knock knock. Now me and my kid. Now they got me on a plane. Madrid can't say what's good. Document scheme on brick. Want Rick to retrieve, send pick. Back team and quiz. Hurrying, homie in the lobby, honey studying the lottie dottie. Wants a piece, so hunts the chief. Bodyguard study charming. Find spot to sneak, kid a weakness, I peeped it. Housekeeping, leaving, he's sleeping. Give a little peace then. Click, click, pick skips. Off to me, what Demi? Hush, what be Jimmy? List the white collar crimmy. Hope do the right thing with I bring Brits. Don't also keep a copy for me just in case, huh? Trifling, might get in trouble though. Hype like a flow,
life of a 00.
Now they got me like a top agent shogun, watching me program.
Look a hot go from
smash and explosion.
Check the fabrics he worn from.
Sass on the flow,
get the documents for him. Here we go.
Now they got me like a top agent shogun, watching me program.
Look a hot go from
smash and explosion.
Check the fabrics he worn from.
Sass on the flow,
get the
documents for him. Here we go.
This that alcohol at the back of your neck after a fresh cut, sharp and dressed up. Suede Valley dope boy grace. The 88, 911 Porsche in the car chase. Hit the switch, drop oil and slide safe to home base. Go yard, place your bets. Subway series, Yankee Mets. Sticking up the game again. Yankee and the Englishman. Who the best storytellers? Keep it a Will Chamberlain. Gangster and a gentleman. Cameras and bow ties. Fragrances, linens, a tie-dye. Suave Monaco flow. Universal audience watches us. Green Burmese, lotus flower. Silky as tux. Connected like Clarence Avon. Respected like Stringer Bell and Barksdale Avon. It pulls at my heartstrings just to say I got a song by Ricky and Nas, Black Bond.
Now they got me like a top agent shogun, watching me program.
Look a hot go from
smash and explosion.
Check the fabrics he worn from.
Sass on the flow,
get the documents for him. Here we go.
Now they got me like a top agent shogun, watching me program.
Look a hot go from
smash and explosion.
Check the fabrics he worn from.
Sass on the flow,
get the documents for him. Here we go.
Excuse me, Miss Winterbottom. Yes, 008 seems to be acting unusual. Should we send the asset? Send the asset.
Hello, I'm Matt Everett, and you're listening to a brand new series of The First Time here on BBC Six Music and BBC Sounds. This is the show where we meet some of the most influential and best-loved musicians around and take a look at the pivotal first musical moments that made them who they are today. This episode is focused on someone who, in the mid-80s, genuinely helped define hip-hop. Its sound, its style, its look, its rhymes, its approach to storytelling, its whole personality, shaping the genre in a way that's still present in its countless contemporary forms. He helped create The Blueprint. His songs, The Show and La-Di-Da-Di are classics, and his debut solo album, The Great Adventures of Slick Rick, stands out as one of the first great mainstream hip-hop releases. I just gave it away, but my guest on The First Time today is Slick Rick. Here we talk about Rick's childhood. He was born and raised in South London, and the impact that had on his musical viewpoint. Then, of course, his youth in the Bronx in New York, and how an impromptu performance led him to become part of Dougie Fresh and the Get Fresh crew in the mid-80s. We cover, of course, the huge hits La-Di-Da-Di, one of the most sampled songs of all time, and The Show, and the colossal cultural impact of those tracks, plus how the success of The Great Adventures of Slick Rick changed his life. And we talk about his image, the characters he played, and the ones he featured in his songs, and the clothes, jewellery, and the look that he developed that's proved so enduring. And we discuss the influence he's had on artists like Nas, Outkast, Ghostface Killah, and Snoop Dogg, many of whom guest on his brand new return to form album and film project, Victory. And from that album, you just heard the track Documents by Rick featuring Nas. But I started by asking Rick to open the show, as I do with all my guests. When was he first aware of music as a child?
Well, when I was a child, we used to listen to the radio in the house. And
that was probably the first time. I used to listen to the radio and when I was living in back in Collierswood area, you know. So we listened to the radio, and the radio was really inspired. You know, I heard a lot of stuff that was going on in England in the mid-60s, very, very early 70s.
What kind of thing can you remember hearing when you were like?
You hear the Beatles, you hear Chubby Checker, you hear, that's what I remember the most, like the Beatles, Chubby Checker, and pretty much that's it. Because, I mean, I was 11 years old, you know what I mean? I left, yeah.
What kind of music an important thing to your family?
I think it's important to everybody's family. It gives essence, ambiance, you know, it enriches existence. So, yeah, just incorporate it in your life and it makes life more comfortable, enjoyable.
Was it something that you always felt like, you know, excited you, something that was always there as like an essence?
I would say it's like a comfort zone. So, yeah, it was always there. And, you know, you start to learn how to create your own comfort zone. The ears, you know, one of your organs, you know, you entertain that organ, just like smell, taste, sight. You just make sure you're just entertaining these five senses type, you know. So the ear was very important. So just entertain the ear, that dazzle the ear type, you know.
So what about the first record that you owned? What was that?
First record I owned, that'd have to be some, I didn't really own it. It was my grandmother's records, it was Jamaican records. You know, yeah. Back in the early 70s, it would be like, yeah, those dancehall type of records, you know?
Any artists you can remember?
Well, you got Alton Ellis, you got the Heptones, and, you know, people like that, Dennis Brown, people along those lines.
They'll talk a lot about you.
Talk about you.
When was the first time you kind of saw music performed live? When was the kind of first show that you saw?
What's on TV? Top of the Pops back then. I saw a group called The Silvers from America on English TV. Those are my earliest memories of seeing someone performing.
I guess, like, obviously you move from England to the US and kind of everything changes. I guess you could feel the kind of musical temperature change, right?
Right. Well, America was a little more of a melting pot. So you get a lot of varieties of different, you got Latin, you got Jamaican, you got African-American, you got reggae. It's just a variety, you know what I mean? So you get expands your horizons.
And did you just immerse yourself in everything you could when you were kind of a teen then, early on?
Pretty much. Anything that sounded enjoyable to me, I would harvest it, you know? Yeah.
Were you one of those kids that would, like, obsess over record sleeves and just, like, gather and collect and collect? Was that you?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's like meat and potatoes. You harvest, cut off the meat and potato, just want the meat and the potatoes for the ear. you know. And then as you get older, you see that you've harvested a lot of beautiful stuff from your history. Dionne Warwick, Diana Ross, all of that, you know. Frank Sinatra. Anything you can harvest is beautiful.
You were a bit of a disco head, weren't you? Is that right?
Yeah, I like disco in the era. Donna Summer, cats like that, you know. James Brown.
Is there one track from that era like that really you remember thinking, that's just doing it for me?
For disco era, I would have to say Donna Summer. That's the one I remember the most.
When did you kind of get the understanding that you could perform, when it was something? Because, you know, people love music, people right. love the idea of being able to perform in front of people. And some people have just, I don't know, you have that realization that actually, if I do something, then people will engage.
Right.
When did that happen for you? Was there a moment?
Yeah, it was like in America when they had like these rap competitions with a $1,500 prize. My friend had entered into one of those competitions and I went along with him, and we pretty much won that competition. And that's when I got exposed to people that's already in the industry, you know? And then they picked me up, and I got with this guy named Dougie Fresh. He was an established artist, and then just took off from there.
What can you remember from that? Because, like, walking out on stage for the first time is, like, it's a special moment.
Well, it was thrilling because the whole neighborhood is there. You know, it's a $1,500 prize. Everybody in this area or New York City at the time had entered into the competition, and then you stood out, you know? So that's pretty much the memory of that. And Dougie Fresh was a judge at the time. There was a couple of judges there. Dougie Fresh was one. So then afterwards, he pulled me to the side and wanted me to work with him.
What do you think he saw in you, in the young you? What was it?
Well, I think it was different. I was different. You know, because I was telling stories with humor, had rhythm, you know, and I could hold my own, you know, and it was entertaining. And he used to do the beatbox with his mouth, you know, and so he done his part and I do my part. It was like chemistry, you know, it's no conflict.
Did you know you were good? Did you have that inner confidence?
After that night, yeah. I always enjoyed myself playing around, banging on walls and tables and stuff. But that was the first time in a professional atmosphere, you know? Yeah, a doorway, let's say.
Even just the name, Slick Rick, it's kind of interesting because it's kind of a character that's sort of part you, right. It's part an invention, it's part, at that point, like an embodiment of what you wanted to be.
Well, my name used to be MC Ricky D.
Yeah.
Before that, it was Little Ricky D as a child. And then when I got with Dougie, he changed it to Slick Rick. So from then on, I just kept calling myself Slick Rick.
You understood image, it seemed to be, even then.
I mean, it sounded cool, so I went with it.
You're making it sound like really easy. It's like, this is...
It wasn't really that complicated, you know what I mean? If it sounds good, it sounds good. If it doesn't, it doesn't, you know? Yeah.
It's a really predictable question, but if you're going to make iconic tracks, these questions are going to kind of come. I want to ask you about the show, but maybe not making it, more like when it was first done, when it was kind of mastered and mixed and you right. put it on the big speakers, that moment when you have to step away from it and go, it's finished. Can you remember listening to it that point and going, I've done something that people might respond to?
Yeah. The first time we was making the show, Eladi Dadi, we was at a Teddy Riley's house, and he has equipment, you know, he has professional equipment. He had a drum machine, and when we was able to, instead of banging on the desk, now we're banging on his drum machine. And you can hear it through the speakers, and you can hear the professional, you know, it sounded great. So once we knew it was going to sound like that on record, we was pretty much convinced we had a hit.
One-minute rhymes that don't come out right. They write.
They never write.
That's not polite. Am I lying?
No, you're quite right.
Well, tonight, on the Starry Mic, you're about to hear,
we swear, the best star rappers of the year.
So, cheerio,
yell,
scream, bravo.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Cash and check, make sound effects. needs to be heard. Doug, I was going downtown.
Word.
All alone, no one to be with. Stepped on the D-train at 205.
It's like going up the roller coaster when something's building, something's pulling, right, and it gets right to the top. And then it's like, it's out of your hands after that point. Everyone's going to run with it. Tell me about the first time that happened with that song.
So first we used to bang on the desk. And then when I put it in a drum machine, it sounded even better. And then, remember, Dougie's already established. He has a record contract and all that stuff. So once we brought it to the studio, it sounded just as good as it sounded at Teddy Riley's house and stuff. And we was on our way. A little chorus, a little Inspector Gadget, cute little... And we was good. So there's the beginning of that magic, you know. And then Lottie Dottie was just him doing the beatbox and me telling a cute story in rhyme form that made people laugh and humor and stuff like that. And it's pretty much, I think it was like the first time anybody's ever done that on record. Beatbox and a rap on top of a beatbox. That's no music, no professional, no, just two mouths. And that's it. And it took off. Yeah, like that.
Hit it! Oh, yeah. Yeah. La-di-da-de. La-di-da-de. La-di. La-di. You know what? Yo, peep this. La-di-da-de. We like to party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody. We're just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
Right?
For all of y'all, keeping y'all in health. Just to see you smile and enjoy yourself. Cause it's cool when you cause a cozy condition and that we create. So that's our mission. So listen to what we say. Because this type of ish happens every day. I woke up around 10 o'clock in the morning. Gave myself a... I'm on it, you're on it. Went to the bathroom to wash up. Had some soap on my face and my hair. Upon a cup, I said, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the top choice of them all? There was a rumble dumble. 5 minutes it lasted. The mirror said,
you are, you can see the bastard.
Yo, that's true. That's why we never have no beef. So then I washed off the soap and brushed the gold teeth. You saw I love Olay cause my skin gets pale. Then I got the files for my fingernails. Due to the night, I don't mind behalf. I put the bubbles in the tub so I could have a bubble bath. Clean, dry was my body in here. I threw on my brand new Gucci underwear. For all the girls I might take home, I got the Johnson's baby powder and the Polo cologne. Fresh dress like a million bucks. Threw on the ballet shoes and the fly green socks. Stepped out the house, stopped short. Oh no! I went back in, I forgot the... Then I
dally,
ran through a
alley,
bumped into my old girl,
Sally,
from the
valley.
This is a girl who plays hard to get. So I said, what's wrong? Cause she looked upset. She said,
say what?
Uh-huh. She said, what? And now my life is filled with rainy days. And I love you so, how much you'll never know. Cause you took your love away from me. Now what was I to do? She's crying over me and she was feeling blue. I said, don't cry.
Dry your eyes.
Here comes your mother with those two little guys. Her mean mother stepped up, said to me,
ha!
Looked Sally in the face and decked her in the...
Ha!
Punched her in the belly and stepped on her
feet.
Slammed the child on the hard concrete. Look, it was strong. Kids was gone, some was wrong. I said, what is going on? I tried to break it up, I said, stop it, leave her. She said, if I can have you,
she can't either.
She grabbed me closely by my socks. So I broke the hell out like I had the chicken pox. But she gave chase, she caught up quick. She put her finger in the face of MC Ring. She said,
what's your relationship with those songs like now? Because I've interviewed musicians and artists, and some of them have. I'm lucky enough to maybe have like a song that kind of really hits like that.
Right.
And a lot of them are like, you know, I play it because I have to play it. Or like, you know, it's kind of difficult to live with it. And other people are like, yeah, look, it's just part of my history. And other people are like, yeah, I love it.
Right.
I love having that in the arsenal of songs.
Right.
Knowing I can drop it and everyone loses their mind. What's your relationship with the track like? And has that changed over the years?
Well, not really. Because sometimes when people enjoy something and you put it back on, it still has an effect on them. Like, okay, I like that. You know what I mean? If it seems like it's getting a tad stale, we might have to tweak it, give it a little more flavor. You just figure it out and you do what you got to do. Most of those songs didn't have to do nothing. Just play it and the public loved it. It's just like if you was to hear Diana Ross, or they don't have to tweak nothing. They just put it on. It's from the 70s. They don't have to be like, oh, this is old, I'm scared. No, just put it on and you're gone again.
Yeah.
It's like Diana Ross at a concert. She doesn't have to make new records.
How do you think you cope with the attention? You were young, like all of a sudden,
right?
Like everybody wants to get renowned. Everyone wants to get attention. When it happens, no one can prepare you for like that thing, that first moment. How was it for you?
I mean, it was fun, you know. You're trying to doll yourself up with your little funds and stuff. And you enjoy the company of your fans, girlfriends and stuff like that. So it's a new world from like working a 9-to-5 or something, you know.
You went from like a pretty ordinary work environment to all of a sudden being like the person
popular, you know?
Yeah. When you turn up, the party doesn't start till you turn up somewhere. And like that's, you know what I mean? That's a different way of living. I just wonder if you found it easy or whether, I guess, you just went with it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you just go with it, you know? It's your environment anyway. It's just now you're in a higher escalated state of your own environment. You're talking to your same people in different countries, in different areas, in different parts. As long as you're set yourself, you got an audience. Like today, it's a melting pot. It's all over the world. So back then, it was like a small seed. So, yeah.
A teenage love. A teenage love. Don't hurt me again. Don't. A teenage love. A teenage love. Teenage love, don't hurt me again. Don't. A teenage love.
Hey sport, here's a thought from the old school crew. A serious situation we all go through. It deals with your feelings, so hear what I say. It's like a day when nothing seems to go your way. Bust this, two people, they really like each other. He says there's no one else and she claims there is no other. The feeling's the same and you receive a notion to reveal your inner thoughts and deeply hidden emotions.
Don't a teenage love. Don't a teenage love.
Precious times, hoping they won't end. Tell your mother about your lover, also your best friend. You're mighty proud while you're holding their hands. Boys, yeah, that's my woman, and girls, yeah, that's my man. This person brings a certain warmth to your heart, and everything seems so great at the start. For she loves him, and he also loves her, and it's hard to turn back to who the person you were. But later on, problems start to occur, and the bond which combines y'all turn into a blur. For the feelings were the same, now here's the score. You love them too much, and they don't love you anymore. Due to your attitude and other, or because you're not being true. Or maybe they're just plain sick of seeing you. Word. Now it might seem strange, you better take hints quick and make the right change.
A teenage love. A teenage love. Teenage love. Don't.
rolling, they're gone, and part of your heart's been stolen. Get back on your feet with a hop and a skip, but no, you'd rather go with this dead relationship. Hanging around and buying them stuff, you'll see them every darn day, yet don't see them enough. You follow them around and they claim you're hawking. When conversation comes, you do all the talking. Not to mention attention, we all need a bit. Behind your back they're saying, yeah, he's all on my they're getting sick of you and quite annoyed. And if you have plans for the future, they're now destroyed. You saw what was happening and you still let it. And if you ever let it make love to your girls, you can forget it. Sweetheart, you've been caught and it'll spread around town faster than you thought. Then break up time and you receive the words. Yo, this is from the heart and I know that part hurts. Get over it from now on, don't take short slick. If it's not true love, you shouldn't deal with it. Just think of your future and what is to come, and pay attention to the words that's in this song. They go,
don't hurt me again. Don't a teenage love.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Do you know?
And then you have that first solo record, Great Adventures. I mean, it's so interesting listening back to that record, listening how great it still sounds and looking at the impact it's had. Was there a sense of pride kind of going, this is our thing that the world is now getting? Like, we are we are taking a very specific cultural attitude, a lyrical style, and the wider hip-hop genre, and we're introducing it to people who have no idea what this is, and they're loving it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful thing to be able to do that.
I think the world now is like a melting pot. And we all grew into speaking English, and then we gave English language swag. You know what I mean? Just like, let's say, a Frank Sinatra does with the English language, or a James Brown might do with the English language, or, you know, we took the English language and we evolved it and it became the melting pot for the world type of a thing, you know? It's like the voice of the colorblind youth.
Is it right that pretty much it was all you in terms of, like, majority of the production, cutting it, getting the samples, that was like, yeah, most of that fell on your shoulders?
Right. See, when I was with Dougie, we only made two records. It was Lottie Dottie and The Show. But when you're on your own and you have to make a whole album, that's like 12 songs, and you want it to be successful, you're going to have to put in more work. You can't rely on producers and different people to make you a star. You have to make yourself a star, and then they can be decoration or help, you know? But first you have to set the foundation, or you're going to be like a lukewarm artist or one-hit wonder type of a thing, you know?
Hey, young world, the world is yours. Hey, young world, the world is yours. Young world, the world is yours. Young world, this rap is
it may cause concern, it's
boring.
Why don't you listen and learn?
Love takes happiness.
That once was strong,
but you to society,
even that's turned wrong.
Times have changed.
Hey, it's cool to look bummy and be a dumb dummy and disrespect your mommy.
Have you forgotten
who put you on this earth, huh?
Who put you on God?
And who loved you since your birth? Reward is a brainwashed kid going wild. Young little girls already have a child.
Bad company.
Hey, now you've been framed.
Your parents are hurted
and ashamed.
For ruining yourself.
And your mommy can't cope. Hey, little kids, don't follow these dopes.
As a rule from a non-fool.
Your life don't drool. Don't be a fool like those that don't go to school.
Get ahead
and accomplish things. You'll see the wonder and the joy life brings.
Don't admire thieves.
Hey, they don't admire you. Their time's limited, hard rocks too. So listen, be strong, scream whoopee-doo. Go for yours, cause dreams come true.
And you'll make your mommy
so proud of you too.
And this is the message
that the ruler, you know, Rick threw, you know, and it's true.
You know what? We like to party, to party. You know
hey,
what?
You look fly.
You don't have an
eye. Oh my, you've been fighting again and you forgot why. Hey kid, walk straight, master your high.
Why?
Because you make your family cry. And all jokes aside, are you in good health?
Hey, little boy,
now have you really checked yourself? You're a disgust, you know someone that I can't trust.
You'd steal Mars' wealth,
and you'd run and buy some dust, and
plus, I must say,
big shot, you're not. Your friends are talking, and I'm hearing that your girls are what? You didn't know? Go steal and rob.
And while you're at
go get a suit for a job. You see, you're acting like this urge is demanding.
Come on, wake up.
Have some understanding. Society's a weak excuse for a man.
It's time for the
now it's time to take the stand. Believe it or not, the Lord still shines on you. He
guides you,
and he watched you as you grew. Plus,
past the age of
a little child, that's true. But folks your age don't act like you do. So
be mature
and put the boy to a halt.
And if you're over 18,
I wish you'd act like an adult.
Don't live in a world
of hate, hate, hate.
Put yourself together
and get yourself straight.
Men don't steal.
Hey, most don't borrow.
And if you smoke crack,
your kids will smoke crack tomorrow.
So be more mature.
And kids, do your chores.
Make your own money.
Hey, be proud, that's yours.
You know why? Cause that's a man.
That's brains, no spite.
Staying out of trouble
when it comes inside.
And a man never loses a fight.
In God's sight, cause righteous laws are overdue. And this is a message that the ruler Rick threw. And it's true.
You know what?
What I learned is that you can't really depend on anybody. You have to do it yourself, and then you'll take some help from other people as far as promoting and stuff like that, you know, like that, or tweaking here and there or something, you know.
Yeah. Also, I think it works as a record. It works as a whole album as well, which mm-hmm. is kind of something that I think you brought to the genre that other people managed after you.
Right.
It's got to have an overall kind of theme. Was that always intentional?
I think each track had a story to tell. And then we put them all together. It's like an album of different areas it takes your mind. One might take your mind into puberty and, you know, your first time having sex or something. Another one might take your mind into an adventure. Different areas, different frequencies. Romance, comedy, heartache, all over the place.
Once again, I've got to come back to the image and the kind of clothes you're wearing. The jewelry is like...
It's like selling yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't just,
yeah.
It felt thought out. You
right.
knew you were delivering something that was part you and part this kind of, this image, so people would respond to it, kind of like a superhero.
When you see something looks nice on somebody that looks like you, you harvest it, like I said before. You harvest things that are beautiful. And then you, next thing you have harvest everything you can see with the eye. You've harvest everything that you see that looks beautiful on your complexion. And then you just incorporate it into you. Jewelry, clothes, the teeth, you know? All of that looks good on brown complexion and stuff, you know? So you just incorporate it. We're like a mannequin, and it's like, who can dress the mannequin the best type of a thing? Well, dress your mannequin real nice so that you don't waste no time with your opportunity and stuff like that.
It must be nice seeing, like, other people, other artists echoing that stuff and thinking, yeah, man, I'm part of the timeline here. I can see my style
mm-hmm.
carrying on
right.
musically and visually. That's kind
right,
of sweet.
Right, right. Exactly. It's like James Brown. James Brown was ahead of his time. And the music that he brought to us was so strong, and it still is.
Get past the people. Get past the hitmen. On my bad breath. Oh.
my face getting short and I got the blues. I got a fucking job and I paid my dues on the good foot. Hey, on the good foot. I got to get on the good foot. Hey, on the good foot. Get on the good foot. Come on.
Daddy, he was almost like he set a bar. You got to be close here. You got to be to this bar, above the bar, or real close underneath it, but not too far, to entertain black audience and then expose your potential to other ethnicities like James Brown's did, or Donna Summers, or Diana Ross, or Dionne Warwick, Al Green, whatever, you know? It crosses over after a while, you know?
As a black American or Afro-English-American artist that broke through to the mainstream, what was the industry like? Because, I mean, the image you get,
right,
middle-aged white guys in massive suits in big buildings downtown, like exploding the hell out of everyone.
Right.
I mean, what was it like from your experience?
Pretty much like what you just said, you know. Once you get into the business side of things, it gets a little crazy, you know. But once you're outside of the business thing and it's just fun and everything we're talking about now, it's like, yeah, we enjoy each other's company, stimulating, inspiring. But when you get to the business side, it's where it gets a little rocky. You know what I mean? So we got to fix the business side so it doesn't get in the way of growth, progress, beauty, inspiration, stuff like that.
How long did it take to kind of get financially recognized for knowing how much your stuff's been sampled? Because it was like the Wild West when you were doing it. People were just, you know, nothing got cleared and you never got credits. Stuff got lifted.
Right.
At what point did you start to get like, okay, well, now people are paying to lift my music?
Right.
I'm guessing it was a while before that happened.
Yeah, it was a while before that happened. But, you know, well, the business side of it wasn't going to let too much slide because they want their cut. You know what I mean? So it wasn't going to get away too much with that. So the business side made sure that they was getting their sample clearance money and stuff like that. So it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, gotta say what's up to my Slick Rick. For those who don't like it, eat it. But for those who with me, sing that. Has it go a little something like this? Lordy dawdy, we likes to party. We don't cause trouble, we don't bother nobody. We're just a throw on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic. For all my dogs, keeping y'all in health. Just to see you smile and enjoy yourself. Cause it's cool when you cause a cozy conditioning, which we create, cause that's our mission. So listen close to what we say, because this type of happens every day. I woke up around 10 o'clock in the morning. I gave myself a stretch up, a moaning, yawning. Went to the bathroom to wash up. I threw some soap on my face and put my hands up on a cup and said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the top dog of them all? There was a rubble double, 5 minutes it lasted. The mirror said,
you are, you conceited.
Well, that's true. That's why we never have no beef. So I slipped off my khakis and my gold leaf. Use oil of LA cause my skin gets pale. And then I got the file for my fingernails. I'm true to the style on my behalf. I put the bubbles in the tub so I can take a bubble bath. Clean, dry was my body and hair. I threw on my brand new doggy underwear.
Then you got people like Snoop covering your stuff, which is like, well, there you go.
Right, that's nice, yeah.
Tell me when you first heard Snoop's Light It Out. Tell me about that, because it's just great.
I think it was like early 90s. It was good because he's from the West Coast of America and I'm from the East Coast of America. So I guess as a West Coast artist, he enjoyed what he grew up listening to, Lottie Dottie. So he wanted to remake it over with a West Coast flavor. So that's what he did. I was honored that he did that, you know? And I'm sure the record labels was happy.
There's famous and there's 80s in New York famous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a whole different level. Like, it's quite difficult to kind of understand how hot it could get. Were you good with fame? Do you think you dealt with it well?
Yeah, I think I did pretty good with it, you know? Financially, you just got to scrape your coins together because people assume you got a lot of money. No, you still got to do that business side I was telling you before. So you got to sell yourself. And then tourism is where you get most of your money. So if you budget your tourism good, you can get your house and your car and your financial stability like that, more so than this side of the fence, you know what I mean? I mean, at first, you're like, I can't believe you're getting away with this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, is this legal? I mean, what's going on? I mean, like, but then once you get past that hurdle, you just budget your tourism and stuff like that.
There's enough people that have kind of had a breakthrough and like mentally look back on that time and go, I was not the best version of myself when everybody was like calling me the greatest thing in the world. But you reckon you had your head screwed on pretty well.
For a 19, 20, 21 year old, I think so. It could have been a whole lot worse, you know? Remember, you got to think of yourself as a 19 year old. And how was your mentality at 19? Yeah, if your mentality matches everybody else's mentality at 19, then you're doing good. You're not too far gone, you know what I mean? That's how people 19 to 21 behave. You have your guardians there to make sure you're good, your mothers, you know, and your fathers and stuff like that, to make sure you don't go too far off course, you know?
It's not something I want to focus on a lot, but I did want to ask you about, because this is first, it's all about firsts, about when you went to jail, just that first night in jail.
Yeah.
Like, can you remember just that?
The first night?
Yeah.
Can't really remember crystal clearly. I can remember other parts, but not really like the first night.
What are your memories of it?
I mean, the stories you hear, you know, as everybody's heard, as you see in movies, can be intimidating and scary. And everything you've ever heard is running through your mind at the time. And then you learn to lay low, keep quiet, don't get too flashy in there. I mean, what's the point? You know what I mean? And, you know, and then just try to come out in one piece.
Do you think you came out a better person because of having to endure that and finding something within yourself?
I think so.
Blessed is the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed is the pure, for they will see the great good. Daddy, quick daddy, come shit my love a rumble in this daddy. Once hit chords, till you want another hit poppy. Quick to stitch, who told me I should quit daddy? Warm abroad, body start dip daddy. Holy shit, here time this daddy. All the fours, sexier than a daddy. Last of all, angelic type of hit daddy. Crash me car, when I was young was exciting and fun to live on. But something's happening, and what is that son? Not good for man to be standing examined. More adventurous contention cause a cure for boredom on war, son. You catch when I snatch, homie, stop for attack, crony. Devil is my toy, kid. Once upon a night, voiding, now less than me, bless, homie. Could have set foot in this, get ruthless ass, but instead I read the heart of the part off. I'm too high in the hair, my baby boy. I'm the venue minor anytime you're wacky tryna. Don't take it like that. Bear too, Mac out here, dude. Ask a cat in here who's higher up, study lottie dottie. Nothing to do but live vicariously through me. Lottie dottie, quick daddy. Come shit, my love a rumble in this daddy. Once it calls, do you want another hip poppy? Quick to stitch, who told me I should quit daddy? Warm and broad, body start dip daddy. Holy sh, clear time this daddy. Hold the force, sexy than a daddy. Last of all, angelic type of hit daddy. Crash me car, switch to mean a study in my team. It seems to hush my stop it is a hush my. So move around like wooden boy without the move bout now, who bout now, innocence, my head in the cloud now. Head in the crown brown, getting me now round. Unexceptionally now found, he's not messing around sound. Told you about the board, wanna see a brother sore. Here you go, know a hole is for your oil. Jamming this Manhattan, granny I'm the man in. Glad you're understanding, cat your sandwiches was slamming. Pass all the famine, set to go on ramming. Here, toast to all my coasting with this British. Cause another painting like a Rembrandt's. Showing off the grit hands, wrote it like a witchcraft. You gets me, daddy, daddy, quick, daddy. Come shit, another rumble in this daddy. Once hit chords, till you want another hit, poppy. Quick to stitch, who told me I should quit, daddy? Boys my broad, body start dip, daddy. Holy sh, clear time this daddy. Hold the force, sexy than a daddy. Blast a ball, an angelic type of hit, daddy. Crash me car.
Why victory?
Victory
is the new record, named the way it is, yeah.
Oh, because we had like, you know, it's a lot of bopping and weaving to get to the finish line. So we just call it victory when we get to the finish line, you know? Victory for hip hop, victory for rap, victory for veterans. Victory.
It's like a visual record. Is that a good way of kind of describing
it? Yeah, visual. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Tell me about that. How does that work?
Well, they're like stories and then you got videos to go along with it, so you get a visual effect of what I'm saying. So it gives a little more impact.
And it's been a long time in the making, right?
Yeah, it's been 4 years, yeah. Well, 26 years, but 4 years to make this album, you know?
You've never left the spotlight, but kind of to be putting yourself front and center with a new record, that's kind of like a different mindset, right?
Right, right. Yeah, true.
How's it feel?
It feels great, you know? Be alive, vibrant, relevant, you know? You still appeal to the public in today's society. Relevance, you know? Relevance to this community, this melting pot, this international voice of the people, you know, like that.
Yeah. Tell me about first meeting Idris and working on this record.
I met Idris at a party. I used to watch him on TV on The Wire. We clicked, we met, spoke to each other, clicked and everything. And then later on, his people reached out to me and said that he would like me to make an album with him, you know? Same thing like with Dougie Fresh, you know? So I said, yeah, why not? I'm not doing nothing, you know? So I went to England, went to his places. He got one in France and one in England. And then we just played around with some music and we came up with some stuff, just playing around. And then we said, you know, this ain't so bad. We should put it out.
You make it sound easy, man.
It was pretty much like that because this is my environment. This is my existence. This is what I do. You know what I mean? So just do what I do. Keep the people happy. Me and you just doing what we doing. And then we entertain ours, and then it extends to other ethnicities and stuff.
What's the track we should play out on? You can pick the song we finish the show with. What should we play out on, my friend?
I guess you should play Stress.
Why that song?
Because it incorporates me and Idris in the story. And it talks about, I would just say like today, how people are stressed because of certain situations, you know? I'm pretending like I'm Idris and like I'm his friend and I'm saying, why are you so stressed? And he says, well, I was supposed to be James Bond, but I didn't get that part. And, you know, little silly things like that, you know?
What's up, Idris? You look sad, what's wrong?
Stressed.
Stressed. Me too. Check it out. Stressed. On me, so hungry, I'm lonely. Console me, crony. I'm stressed. Bring that finger lick and make that wiggle a little kinda sad here in Britain. I'm stressed. Bring that black power up now and watch how I bop now. No one was stressed. Now alive, I will survive. I drive. Working patch, too cautious, cat, even white folk. We bought trash. Service my thermos flicker, who curb river? What's the purpose of living? We stressed. Hold up, what's that dropping? Hip hopping, got a pop locking back on. Stressed. Pardon me, purer me, certainly. Do make up here more orderly. Stressed. Got a nurse cat game, now aim. Ready, first black James, who's stressed. Not at all, got played, Olay. Don't worry about the dog cat made, though. Stressed. Hero, young De Niro, square down once again. Oh, here I come to say the stressed. Poet and the visual, love kid. Coexisting with you, though. Stressed. On me, so hungry, I'm lonely. Console me, crony. I'm stressed. Bring that finger lick and make that wiggle a little kinda sad here in Britain. I'm stressed. Bring that black power up now and watch how I'm up now. Though I was stressed. Now alive, I will survive. I drive. Stressed.
Yeah, happy go thinker. Might smoke, but man ain't no drinker. But still, got me some yak. And she got a stone ginger.
Stressed.
Yeah, man ain't no whinger. No hero, man ain't Mohinder. I'm with bad as Tanisha. Yeah, and got salad for Linda.
Stressed.
Fake interference. You came late on the clearance. She came great on endearments. I might make an appearance.
Stressed.
You can't fake how you feel. I got weight and I'm serious. She's grumpy on a beer. I'm hungry from a beer.
Stressed.
Yeah, nuts from the cluster. Yah, 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 in the club on a bus stop. Just got the plug from a roster. From the scales to a block to a customer.
Stressed.
Yeah, I've been down in the sufferer. Now I complain to the butler. Yeah, keep quiet with the muffler. Yeah, I let her go, couldn't trust her.
Stressed.
And that's the end of this show. I'll be back tomorrow with another brand new episode of The First Time from this season. And of course, you can listen back to previous First Times from this run on BBC Sound, which include my chats with Jim Moyer, also known as Vic Reeves, Ezra Furman, Skin from Skunk Anansie, and John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater Revival. Until then, I've been Matt Everett. Thanks for listening.